Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I need to get my kids ready for back to school.
Well, Staples has everything they need at low prices, like comp books for just 50 cents, so they'll be 110% ready.
Wait, that's 10% more ready than totally ready.
Yep.
That extra 10% evens it all out.
Sorry?
Well, I'm usually 10 minutes late getting them to school, so.
That doesn't even it out.
Yeah, sure it does.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples. Make more happen. Right now, one subject notebooks are just 17 cents each.
Offer valid in-store only while supplies last. Limit 30 per customer ends 9/12/15.
Blog Talk Radio.
Vergans en vermoord en verruip. Ek smoeg vir die bad news vir Zuma en sy wiels van ons op TV moet kyk. Ek wil nie meer hoor hoe ons tieners begrawe oor niemand al steur aan die wet. Ek wil nie meer lees van affirmative action op een klei om te hou wat ek het. Gee vir my een nieuwe geit, een grootste plezier en een tellerij, wat lief kiezen en kruis en strijd, voor die mooi van ons land en ons recht om hier te gaan blij. Ek stiek vir my lemma, sy leun en sy stemma, ons hou maar ons mond en betaal. Voor blind vir die rampe en bid dat die Heer ons omhaal. Daar's Winnie Mandela wat mense verbrand het, maar nou wil sy huil in haar hand. Die staatskas is leeg en die ANC jeugd saai verwoesting en pijn hier ons land. Gee vir my een nieuwe geit, een grootste plezier en een en strijd voor die mooi van ons land en ons recht om hier te gaan blij. Sy kinders, sy kinders kan blij. Maar sy huis en sy lande is nou in die hande van die vijand teen wie hy moet strijd. Ons kinders verstaan nie waar bommel vandaan nie, al erfenis is uitgewis. Geen volkslied of vlag nie en geen ere wag nie vir die helde wat daar nie meer is. Geef vir my een grootste plezier en een tellerij, wat lief kiezen en kruis en strijd, voor die mooi van ons land en ons recht om hier te gaan blij. Gee vir my een nieuwe geit, een grootste plezier en een tellerij, wat lief kiezen en kruis en strijd, voor die mooi van ons land. En ons graag om hier te kan blijven.
Welcome to American White History Month, South African series. This is your host, Karen Smith. Today, we are going to talk about a very contentious subject, the story of Cornelio de Wet. Cornelio de Wet is a Boer political prisoner on trial in South Africa for possession of explosives. Cornelia has been raped, persecuted by the black establishment, and betrayed by the majority of her white compatriots. Although I do not condone violence of any kind, I do support her right to a fair trial. Some background on this case. Cornelia de Wet became a South African political prisoner and victim of misrepresentation, who was placed in a South African prison, or prisons. Cornelia, an ordinary South African citizen, lived on a farm and abided within the parameters of the law until she joined a right-wing group known as the Leeuwwacht, Panzer Protection. The group worked to promote and assist white South Africans who were desperately in need of assistance. Well, Cornelia was, because from an article, this: valiant Boer woman Cornelia de Wet was attacked 5 times, shot several times, targeted in a gunfight, her house torched with a family locked inside, yet police refused to investigate. In May 2010, Carolina Mpumalanga Boer woman Cornelia de Wet was shot in the leg from a long distance away while working on her farm outside Carolina. Only a month after her wooden homestead was torched, with her and her children asleep inside. This is the first time that the De Wet family has been targeted on their farm. Mpumalanga land is in hot demand. The government has been handing out thousands of coal mining licenses in the area to inexperienced private mining operators who proceed to destroy valuable farmland in short order and are ruthless about acquiring ever more land. A gunfight lasting nearly 2 hours then broke out while the house kept burning. And then more helpers arrived at the farm and chased the black attackers off. Jan Jr. said, since the fire, there have also been several break-ins of the storerooms on the farm, and the vehicles on the farm were also recently vandalized. Someone wants to force us off our family farm, but we don't know who. Our farm is the only one in the whole area which isn't the subject of a land claim. According to him, the police are refusing to investigate. And indeed, this was confirmed by the police, and for the most inane of reasons. South African Police Service spokesman Isaac Afena confirmed that they were aware of the incidents. However, he added, we did go to the farm, but we didn't register a complaint since she doesn't know the name of the person who injured her. Well, I know that that happens to be true because when my parents' farm was attacked and my father and my brother were lying bleeding on the floor and my mother of 85 years old called the police, they told her exactly that. If you cannot identify them by name, we are not even bothering to come and open a docket. So Cornelia reached out to a right-wing group for some protection. Further along the line, developments within the right-wing group changed, and she was banished from the group, leading to untold misery for her family. Members of the Leeuwwacht group did not want De Wet to talk and terrorized her by attempting to break into her property, endanger her and her children's life. At one time, members of the group locked her and her children in their house and set it alight. Fortunately, she survived this ordeal. The real nightmare began when police officers invaded her home, found explosives and ammunition, and immediately arrested her. She was thrown into the back of a police car and taken to prison. Facing the hardened criminals in a holding cell, she could do little while waiting for her first court appearance. She was reportedly arrested on, among others, charges of high treason and incitement. But the charge sheet only refers to possession of ammunition and explosives. The following day, Cornelia stood before the judge and was officially charged with unlawful possession of explosives and ammunition. The case was postponed without bail being set, and she was placed in the Middelburg prison. For the next 2 years, she was transferred to various other prisons, and unable to afford legal assistance, the state supplied representation. This did not secure a bail application, and only after serving 2 years was bail granted. During the imprisonment term, Cornelia was subject to brutal treatment, and the trauma of dealing with the confines of the prison did not bode well. The unexpected torment and planned rape by black office officials was devastating and still causes her to tremble at the thought of a devious plan by authorities. Cornelia did not have an easy life in prison, being white and charged with illegal arms and explosives. The prison officials treated her with disrespect, since she, after all, was a threat to their democratic government. After being released from prison, she remained determined to secure evidence and prove her innocence. Dealing with the betrayal of her white counterparts and being the victim of a black rape ordeal was trying and often caused her to slip into severe depression. Desperately in need of trauma counseling and in search of the truth, Cornelia began to rebuild her life and took on the responsibility of clearing her name of any wrongdoing. Seeking local and international support, Cornelia has told her story in the quest to get the truth to be heard. The world can look upon her and the difficulty of trying to stay alive in the confines of prison hell in a country where racial hatred and injustice runs deep. The brave Cornelia gains little support and continues to receive death threats, abuse, and torment because of her kindness. The perpetrators continue to deny planting weapons on her farm, insisting that she was a criminal-minded member who wanted to kill black people from pure hatred. The organization has a strong support structure leading back to government officials who will risk the life of one woman rather than own up to the truth that they are shallow, underhanded demons utilizing companies as fronts to secure a dominant position in the political structure of South Africa. The expectation of a fair trial for her is not without concern, especially as the justice system displays a failing structure within South Africa. And here to tell her own story is Cornelia. Cornelia, welcome to American White History Month South African series. You are live on air.
Good afternoon, Colin, and thank you to have me on your show.
It's an absolute pleasure, Cornelia. The story has got to be told, and people have to pay attention. So if you would just tell us something about before all of this started, how you lived, how your kids, and why, what led up to this entire disaster in your life?
Colin, I'm a mother of four children. I have three daughters and one son. And I have lived a good life on the farm. And today, everything is taken away from me. So, yes, I'm living a bad life now, but one day it will get better.
It has to. It has to, Cornelia, but you need support and you need help.
Yes, I do.
So, as far as I understand it, and I've read screeds on your case. I've read so much on it that I'm just becoming complex. But as I understand it, you were living on the farm with your kids. You had five attacks on your farm. And so you reached out to some security agencies, literally, to help you.
Colin, yes. I have opened for me a Facebook account in 2010. And after I opened my Facebook account, I was contacted by Leo Wach on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So they asked me to join the group for they protect white farmers in South Africa. So I have joined the Leo Wach group, and Pansel Protection, and I was 2 weeks with them, then they make me an officer, and I was doing all the administration work and everything for them. And so, yes, so everything began to fall in part for me, and I was seeing what I was busy with and planning, and I was attending the meetings and go out with them to places So, yes, I was involved in everything they was doing.
And?
So, yeah, and one night we have a meeting in Senin by one of the officers' house, and that night they was talking about to overthrow the government, and I tell them it can't work because the planning they was doing to bomb black schools and police stations and kill ANC members and things. If I stand up and tell them, do you know what, I'm not going to be a part of that because I'm not going to jail for something that's not going to be a success. Because the way that was planned, it can't be working in South Africa the way they want to do it.
Yes.
How they want to overthrow a government with 100 or 200 people, it's impossible. It can't be done.
No, it can't be done. But there again, and now really, I need to stress this, I am not in favor of any form of violence, but the South Africans keep being asked, why are they not standing up against the white genocide being committed against them? Why are they not standing up against the murders and the terrible things that are, the rapes, the murders, the awful things that are happening to all those South African people? So they then try to organize to stand up against it, right?
Yes.
That it was only yes. Few people, and you also not believing in violence, refused to be part of it. And that is where your trouble started.
Do you know what? This not a, the real thing is because, do you know what? This whole thing was planned by police informants. The group was begin by the police, South African police, to arrest a right-wing people. And that was, say, the night I was leaving the group, the police informant told me, do you know what? What you did tonight is you're going to pay, and you're going to pay for a very long time because we was work very hard to arrest the right-wing people, and now you do this to us. And you see, that was a whole setup from the beginning from the police.
Okay, so the setup was they infiltrated the group.
No, they started, the police started a group and let the right-wing people join the group and plan to overthrow the government, and then they want to arrest the people. The plans will never came to action.
And they were trying to incite you to action so that immediately you did something against the law, they could then arrest you.
Now you see, the law on high treason is, the plans don't have to come to action. You can only plan it, and they can charge you with high treason in South Africa.
Okay, so now because you started talking about this and refused to have any part of it, they then saw that this wasn't going to work because they couldn't arrest you. So they had to find something else to arrest you on.
Yes, you see, the explosives and ammunition what was found in my house was gifted by one of the police informants to me to hold on. He delivered it to my farm and tell me I must hold on to it till the next operation. They're going to use the explosives and ammunition. So that was sealed, so I never look inside to know there was explosives ammunition. So I have took the thermal lift in that was sealed, and I put it on my couch, and I have leave it there because I didn't know what was in it. I never opened it.
Ah, so they came to your house, they raided your house, immediately found it, and didn't search any further.
No, they was walking into my house that was standing on the couch. They took it. Okay, they took my laptops, my cell phones, all the documents of Leo Wach, all the emails and a lot of other stuff out of my house. The day they left my house. And no, they didn't look for it. And that was the only thing they found in my house what was illegal was the clamor of the explosives and ammunition, what the police found still sealed in the living room in my house.
All right. So then, even once they found that stuff, you went through an immense amount of trauma while they were arresting you.
Yes, come on, tell you. They have wait for us on route to school. It was 7 a.m. in the morning. So they asked us to go back to the farm, and we go back to the farm with them. So they give me the search warrant, and the search warrant says only 4 policemen may search my house. But okay, there was 50 heavy armed black police officers, no white, only black.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 policemen have go into my house, take stuff, search, throw everything out. And after 2 hours, I ask them, do you know what? What is the plan? What are you planning to do? Then they say no, they wait for a team of the police to come out to the farm. And later the dog unit was called to come and search around my house to see if there's nothing outside my house. And then 2 hours later, again, I asked them, you are 4 hours busy searching. What is the plan? Then they say, no, they wait for the bomb unit to come to the farm. Okay, later the bomb unit come to the farm and say, okay, that is explosives and everything. Then they asked me, the black captain of the Hawks asked me, and that was the white woman of the bomb squad, asked me to go with them inside the house. Then the white woman said to me, Cornelia, we want the other explosives because this is not all what you have. Then I say, do you know what? I don't have anything else. I say, no, you are lying because you have other stuff also. And she was going on. Then I tell her, do you know what? If you want to search, continue searching, but you're not going to find anything other illegal in my house. And my dad asked him, there's 5 houses on the farm. Do you want to search any of the outbuildings at the houses on the farm? The police say, no, we only want to search Cornelia's home, no other home on the farm.
So there immediately is the first sign of something wrong. Because if they came to search and they did find something, under a normal operation, they would have searched everywhere. They would have turned the entire place upside down because they would have been looking for more.
Yes, but it was only my house.
So no outbuildings, no nothing?
Nothing, only my house. My dad asked him, do you want to search the other houses? Then the police captain of the Hawks say, no, we only want to search Cornelia's home.
Red flag immediately, because, I mean, if any police team came with an ordinary suspicion and found the smallest anything, but, I mean, even so, even if they didn't find anything, they would have searched the entire property, surely.
I say they don't even ask my dad, do you have firearms? Can we see your firearm license? Nothing. That was only my place. They wasn't interested in anything else except my house.
Red flag, huge red flag right there, because that is not the normal way they operate, is it?
No, it is not.
Wow.
And after that, they just told me, you come with us. They didn't read my rights to me. They never say on what charges they arrested me. They just tell me, you're coming with us. And yes, and then they throw me in and take me to Carolina police station.
Okay, and once you got to the police station?
That was 8 hours later, before, after, they take 8 hours to search my house.
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I don't believe you have an enormous house that would take 8 hours of searching.
No, but it's a small house. They even, on the statement, the policeman say he took 49 photos. On the statement, they say he took 2 hours to take 49 photos. It's not possible. It can't be.
Wow. Okay, so once you got to the police station, did they then tell you what charges you were arrested on?
No. They only took me to a room, and everything they took in my house, they unpacked on a table and was writing it down what I took, and the explosives, what it was, and ammunition. And then they asked me if I want to give a statement. I say no, I don't want to give a statement. And then they took me to the cell and locked me up.
Do you know how long you can be kept in jail without being charged? Because I don't know.
I'm going to tell you the story with this, without charging. So the next morning, they took me to court for my bail application. But, okay, the state refused because of the charges of high treason and incitement and 38 other charges they have against me.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 40 charges they have against me. It was high treason, terrorism, ammunition, explosives, planned murder, and I can't even remember all the charges they have put on.
Yeah. So, okay, so now, high treason is normally the death sentence, but it doesn't apply in South Africa anymore, so that's life, without a question. That's life in jail.
Yes, 25 years, yes.
Okay. So now they've told you that these are your charges, and the next step was?
No. They never, the next morning with my bail application, they only say because of high treason, they can't give me bail because high treason is a Schedule 7 crime and there is no bail for high treason. They never say they charge me with anything. It was only, they say because of high treason, they can't give me bail.
Okay, well, that kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, the law is the law, and if you're charged with treason, they're not going to give you bail. But they, and that was in the charges at that time, was it not?
Yes, yeah, that was 40 charges, yes.
Okay, so then what was the next step?
Okay, the next step is they were asked the court to transfer me to Middelburg prison because for my safety, they say in court, they is concerned about my safety. So they asked the court to hold me in prison and not in Carolina police station.
Ah, yes, okay. So now they're going to put you in a black prison with black prisoners?
Yes, we was only in prison between, I think we were 70 inmates, and waiting trial, it was 28 waiting trial, we was only 2 white girls in waiting trial.
And now was it female prison?
Yeah, it's mixed, but female separated and male separated.
Okay, and so, how were you treated there? What were your conditions in that prison?
Okay, Middelburg prison, in the beginning, I was kept in a single cell. But if prison is full, then we have to share maybe till 4 persons in one of the small cells. It's 2.5 meter by 3 meter cell. Then you 4 people in one cell. But I was, in Middelburg prison, I was treated really bad because they was hating me every day. They was telling me, you are the person who want to kill the black people. So yes, they was treating me bad. And 22 December 2012, they give me medicine and tell me that is to let me sleep because I was can't sleep, and they say now they're going to give me some medicine that I just can sleep, and That was my strangest medicine they give to me, because they say I must put it under my tongue. Because sleeping medicine, you don't put under your tongue.
Yeah.
And I was drinking it. Okay, that was... the thing they was giving it me for 4 days, and I was getting sick. And on the end of the day, I couldn't get out of bed. I was really sick, and the night I asked the other white lady to call the guards and ask them I want to see a doctor.
Yes.
And later on, they came, but female and male, male guards, and they opened the cell, and the male guards start beating me, and they took me out of the cell and throw me on the cement and kick me and slap me, and after that they handcuff me and shackle me, still beating me, and then the sister of the prison came there, and I tell them, do you know what, he's busy to hurt this woman, leave her alone, you're going to get in trouble. Okay, after they beat me, they took all my stuff out of my cell. Only there was nothing in. So I was, my sleep on the ground, no blankets, everything they took away. And 27 December, they transferred me to another prison so that my family can see me. And they didn't tell me they're going to transfer me. So my family didn't know I was transferred. After 2 weeks, I could phone them. After all the bruises and everything was away, the prison allowed me to phone my family and tell them I was in that prison.
Oh, my goodness. So you had absolutely no proof of that beating whatsoever?
No. No, I have. No, not of that beating I don't have, no. No. Because they refused to took me to a doctor, and they just transferred me like no one can see anything.
Oh, right, but is it normal to have male guards for female prisoners?
No, that's not allowed, but sometimes the male guards come into the female prison and do some rounds with some female guards, or sometimes if they don't have female guards to do the rounds at night, they use the male guards to do it.
So in between all of this, had you even had a court date yet?
Yes, I was. Then I was in 7 or 8 times already in court. So I was, in between, I did another bail application.
Yeah.
So, and the state denied bail again, because the police testified in the bail application and say no, the charges is too serious to let me out of bail, and they still investigate, and they want to arrest other people in the case, so they can't let me go. So... yes, I was then, so 8-10 times in court by then.
Still on 41 charges?
Yes, I was not charged yet. They didn't charge me. They just hold me in prison. I wasn't charged. And, okay, January 2013,
okay, how long had you been in jail by then?
Then I was from May month to December is, what, 7
months without being charged.
Yes. And 28th January, I bring my last bail application to court. And when I arrived at court, the court was, no one was allowed at court, not even my family was allowed. They lock all the gates, no one can enter the courtyard or anything. So, and yes, they had a bail application on, and the police testify now that I want to bomb black schools and police stations and I'm a danger to the community. They can let me go out on bail. So yeah, bail was denied. It was my last bail application. And after court, the police handcuffed me and they beat me. The blood was running off me. And they took me back to prison. And when I arrived at prison, the head of the woman prison asked me what is wrong with me and what is going on, why I'm full of blood and all these bruises and things. They were strangling me. And I say, no, the police have beat me, but I was in a very bad state. And then she called the doctor to come and see me and do a report for them. So the doctor did the report for me, for all the bruises and everything they done to me. And, well, that night, it was just too much for me. I took an overdose of tablets in prison. So when they took me to Bethel Hospital, the doctor said they can do nothing for me. They don't know if I will survive, but they must take me through to ICU in Witbank, where I was in a coma for a couple of days before I came out of the coma. So when I came out of the coma, they cast me to the hospital bed naked in front of the black male guards. And when I asked them if I can get my clothes, they said, no, you can't get it.
And now, is this an ordinary hospital?
Yes, it's a state hospital, yes.
But there are rules in hospitals about how to treat patients, whether you're a prisoner or not. There are rules about human dignity. And I know I was a nursing sister in South Africa. I mean, in my day, and I'm not saying because I never nursed under the ANC government, but in my day, we would never have treated anybody like that, never mind whether you were a prisoner or whether you were a murderer or whether you were treated properly. Because...
Yeah, but not now. So even the doctor told them, you know what, I can't let you take this woman back to prison. You must take her back to Bethel Hospital, because then they tell the doctor, do you know what? You will let she go out. We're not going to keep her in any longer at hospital. The charges against her, we can't take the chance to keep her any longer at hospital. Then the doctor say, but the charges is not important. Her life is. Then the police say, no, she go now back to prison.
So against the will of the doctor, they took
me out of
that hospital. And now that report of that beating, does it still exist? Can you have it in court? Or has it disappeared like everything else in South Africa?
Can I say you, when I came back, they took me back to Middelburg prison and then they transferred me back to Bethel prison again. Then I opened a case against the police. They have the report, everything. So when I attend court again, I think it was 4 months later, then I told the magistrate about the beating and things, and the magistrate said to me, what about it? He just says to me, what about it if they beat you?
Really?
So, yes, yes. Even in the newspapers I have, you can go and read the way the journalist wrote that Cornelia was bleeding when they took her outside after the court appearance.
And the actual court system just said, so what?
Yes.
So your case was literally dismissed against the police?
Yes, I asked them, so... 4 months back, what happened about the case, they say they close it, they're not going to charge the officers who beat me.
Despite a doctor's report and journalists saying that, they still just refuse to do anything about it.
Yes.
Cornelia, in your opinion,
yes,
is this because of the severity of the charges against you? Is it because you're white? Is it because they were so fed up that you foiled their plot to arrest a whole bunch of white right-wingers? Or is it just a combination of all of that? That you, to this stage, I mean, we haven't even gotten to your whole story, but is it your opinion? What, in your opinion, is the reason for this?
Well, as I said, the reason for this is just to arrest the right-wing people and put them in jail because they see us as a threat for South Africa, for the government.
But even that is totally ridiculous because there are so few of you. So few white, never mind white right-wingers. There are so few of you that how can you be a threat to...
Could I tell you this? The investigate officer what was investigating the case of the Boeremag, Lieutenant Colonel Tolly Friedenberg, he was questioning me on several occasions, and he told me to say, Cornelia, do you know what? It's all I do is go after your right-wing people. I said, everyone we arrested, we make sure go for years to jail. I said, I can tell you, it will happen to you also.
And this is a white officer?
A white officer told me that. Colonel Tolly Friedenberg. He was investigating the Boeremag case.
Oh. Okay, so now you're out of hospital. You've gone to court to try and make a case against the police for brutality. Your case has been thrown out. Have you at this stage been charged with anything?
No, you see, they charged me. I was charged after 1 year and 3 months. They charged me for the first time.
Okay, so let's go back to your prison years because this is a disgrace of all disgraces. So now you're taken back to where were you now?
Prison.
Yeah, you were in the...
Bethel prison, yes.
You were in Bethel prison, where you had originally been beaten up, yes?
No, I was beaten in Middelburg prison.
My goodness, trying to keep track of this is very difficult. Okay.
They charged me 7 times in 2 months.
So that nobody could find you, that nobody knew where you were?
Yes. Yes.
I can't see any other reason for that, because even if they say it was for your safety, you were not safe.
No. But you see, after I was taken back to prison in Bethel, I was only there for, I think, 5 days. Then they transferred me to Pretoria prison again.
So in all of this time, your family can't keep track of you. Your friends can't keep track of you. You can't really communicate with them where you're at, what's happening with you. Oh, my goodness. It's like being disappeared, really, in a lot of ways.
Yes, my family have no life. Today I'm here. Tomorrow, I mean, at a prison, they don't know where I am.
Okay, so then what happened next?
Okay, then they transferred me to Pretoria. And over there, the guards was not bad. Not really bad in Pretoria. But you see, sometimes when the shifts change, at night, the night shift didn't light me at all. So at night, they didn't put my light in the cell because I was all it was to hold me in one unit alone. There was no other prisoners. They have locked me up for 24 hours a day. And at night, I must sit in the dark. They don't want to switch my light on. And if they feel like it, after 2 or 3 days, they will take me out to take a shower. If they don't feel like it, they leave me. They don't let me shower.
No.
Yes. And you see, I was get fed up with the way they were treating me. So then I go on a hunger strike in Pretoria prison.
Okay.
So in I was Kate Williams, but they want to keep it out of the media, so no one in the media ever know about an anger strike because the person didn't want anyone to know I was on an anger strike. So 9 days later, they phoned my family and asked them to come and see me because they don't think I'm going to make it. So my family, my mother, my father, my kids, and the friend of Johannesburg has come and see me. And when my kids see me, they was crying because I was looking very terrible. I was very ill of the anger strike. And they tried to convince me to stop with the anger strike, and I tell them, do you know what? No. I will keep on till my next court appearance, but that was 24 days further.
Yeah.
And later the doctor arrived. They called the doctor to come and speak to my family. So the doctor tell my family, if they don't treat me today, tonight I will be in a coma, and I refuse, refuse any medical treatment from them. Then I told my family, do you know what? They won't treat me, and I refuse. No one will treat me. They can treat me if I don't know anything anymore.
Yeah.
Then they can treat me, but while I know everything, I not allow them to treat me. I don't want anything from them. So the doctor tell my family my kidneys is busy to give in, and my oldest daughter stand up, and she was crying, she was walking out. And later she came back and they talked to me and asked me, Mom, please, where must we get the other mom? Please stop. And you know what? Later I tell my kids, do you know what? I will stop the anger strike just for you. So yes, after that time I stopped just for my kids.
Yeah. But you must
have... So after that, they transfer me back again to Middelburg Prison.
Oh, man. Okay, so now you're desperately ill because you haven't eaten for forever. And... But, oh my goodness. So then what did they do? What did the prison officials do?
They have done nothing. They have transferred me back to Middelburg Prison, where they have beat me. So, yes, when I arrived there, they were shocked and tell me, Cornelia, just look, how are you looking? You was never looked like this when you was with us. And I told them, do you know what? It's because of you what I'm looking like this. And do you know what? The treatment was going on. They was treating me bad. But do you know what? I was on that stage. I didn't care anymore what they did to me.
All right. So, what was their next step?
Okay, the next step was I asked my lawyer to to make an appeal against my bail application, what was denied in Carolina court. So, but it took the lawyer to do it 7 months, where it only took 5 days when they heard it on in court. So, on 2019 February, the High Court in Pretoria heard my appeal on, and they decided the magistrate who denied me bail was wrong, and they gave me bail. And after they gave me bail, they refused to release me. So, they hold me 2 days longer in prison. Every time it was excuse, we don't have the paperwork for my court, we must wait. And then my family come to Middelburg Prison and I tell them, do you know what? We sit here till you get the paperwork because we're not going to wait any longer for her to be released from prison.
Okay, who said that?
My family.
Your family, okay.
Yes.
And their response to that was?
Yes, and... 2 hours later, they asked to release me.
On bail?
Yes.
So when did they drop all the other charges against you?
That was when they charged me for the first time. They say the police don't have enough evidence to charge me with high treason and terrorism and other charges, but for the explosives and ammunition, they have most of the evidence they found in my house, so yes, they charged me for that.
So out of 41 charges, you now have very few against you.
Yeah, I have only two against me.
But even so, those charges carry a very, very big jail sentence, don't they?
Yes, but my lawyers say to me if they found me guilty on all two of the charges, it's going to be 25 years.
So even though it's not treason anymore, the sentence is still the same?
Yes, it's still the same, yes.
Oh, Cornelia, But that was not the end of your trials and tribulations in jail, was it?
Okay, Mia, I know what you want to hear the other part.
No, I don't really. And I know how hard it is going to be for you to speak about it. But I do believe that it is very important for the international community to hear the truth about what happens in jail to a white person. And I'm sure it happens to blacks as well. I'm not saying that it doesn't.
Yes, the police do that to the black woman also.
Yes, I'm not making this
But the most of the white woman I was with in jail was white by police officers.
All right, so...
But, okay, I'm going to tell you, let me tell you the part of that, how it happened and how... And that was also a planned thing, the police can... Tell me what I want, because if the way that was doing it, it was all planned. Because, you know, that Colonel Tolly Friedenberg and some of his colleagues from the Hawks of Pretoria to come and question me on 1 July 2012. Okay, they was questioning me for, I think, 4 or 5 hours. And after that, they told me they're going to take me back to prison just to get some clothes and things. Then they're going to take me to Middelburg Police Station. And from there, some police people from Nelspruit will come and fetch me. Then I go with them, and then they're going to take me to Ermelo Police Station, where they put me in for the night.
But so, why? Yeah. Why? This whole complicated from this one to that one to the next one.
Yeah, that is, it's very complicated. I don't understand it myself, but they was transferring me from this person to that person, from this police station to that police station. For 2 years, they transferred me all the time. I don't know why. But, okay, they put me in for the night. That was just after midnight they put me in. The police cells, but let me tell you, there's no toilet, there's no water. The used condoms is lying in the cell. It is very dirty, the cell they put me in. There's no blankets, there's nothing to sleep on, nothing. Okay, that was about two hours later the morning, two black police officers came into my cell, opened the door. I was sitting in the corner of the cell, and they enter the cell and tell me to stand up. So I stand up and...
Cornelia,
okay,
you don't have to.
Yes.
You really don't have to.
Okay, I'm just going to say that then they like me. Both of them, and you know, they was just leaving me there and tell me and call me I'm a white bitch and turn around and tell me to keep quiet and laughing and walk out of the cell.
So, all right, so after that, how long did they keep you there or did they move you immediately?
No, they didn't move me immediately. They come and fetch me the next morning at 9 o'clock and took me back to prison.
All right, so now you say this was a setup. To me, it sounds like it, because they moved you two or three times before you ended up where you were raped, and then the very next morning, move you back to prison again. So what was the reason, what did they need to move you to that police station for, other than what happened to you?
They've moved me all the time. Then I'm in Middelburg Police Station, then I'm in Carolina, then I'm in Almelo. I was, for 2 years, they moved me around. In 2 months' time, I was moved 7 times.
But Cornelia, it doesn't make sense. If you're a prisoner, you're in prison. You're not in the police holding cells. So this whole thing stinks.
Yeah, but you see, if you is on waiting for in South Africa, eh? You still belong to the police. A correctional service is just looking after the waiting trial prisoners till they are sentenced. But still, the police can come and fetch you anytime they want to fetch you and things.
And send you wherever they want to send you and do whatever they like with you.
Yes, that's what they have just done with me.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so this was all before you were granted bail. So then you were sent all over the place. You went to court and you were given bail.
No, I didn't went to court. My appeal was heard on without me.
Without testimony
it was only,
at all?
Yes. You see, if you appeal in high court, it's only your advocate and the state against each other by going to court.
Okay, so you weren't even there, and they told you that you were released on bail. How much bail did they give you?
5,000.
So you had undergone this entire almost 2 years of jail and trauma and suicide attempts and moving all over the place and being raped by the police and trying to put a case against them for beating you up. All of this. And then they give you 5,000 rand bail, not millions of rand, 5,000 rand, and they let you go. So all of that was totally unnecessary.
Yeah, do you know what? For the charges against me, amnesia and explosives, man, was I the only person in South Africa what was ever refused to get bail?
Ever?
Ever, yes. The advocate used it in my appeal. Everyone who was charged with the charges was released immediately on bail. I'm the only one that has kept 21 months in prison.
Why? That has to be the question.
Because all the police informants and everything to get away.
Hello? I think we've lost Colinia. I'll try and call her again. My goodness, what a story. What an incredibly heart-rending, horrifying story. I can scarcely believe that this can happen in any country.
Yes,
are you back?
I'm back. We cut off.
Yeah, we lost you for a few minutes. Cornelia, I was just saying, what a heart-rending story, and what a horrible thing to which, what lengths the government will go in order to entrap, silence, and keep quiet anybody who's prepared to stand up against them. So for me, your story is an absolute picture of why white South Africans do not stand up against the government and against the blacks who are murdering, raping, killing them at a rate unheard of in the rest of the world. But your story is meant to scare the hell out of them, and it does.
Yes, they won't stand up because If you wait and you are arrested in South Africa, you can know hell is waiting for you in prison.
So now you had the fear of AIDS that you had
no,
to live with?
No, I tested me a few times. I don't have it.
Yes, but you live with that fear until you know.
Yes, yes.
Until you know for sure, you are scared out of your skull. So now, while you were in jail, there must have been many times when you should have had trauma counseling. Did they do anything to provide that? Did they even care?
They have took me only to one time to a doctor who gave me sleeping tablets, but he gave me 100 milligram sleeping tablets, so I was sleeping for 3-4 days before I wake up if I was doing the medication he gave me.
And because of the fear you were living with of other things happening to you, you surely did not want to be drugged asleep. Because they...
Yeah, well, they, it was a black doctor. Everything is... The doctors, the sisters, everything in prison is male and black. This, everything is just black prison guards, black doctors, black sisters. Everything is black.
And we know how they feel about whites in South Africa.
Yes.
I mean, really, I try really hard. I really do try really, really hard not to make this a race issue. But it is, because it's black on white. And there's nothing that one can say that doesn't make you racist, because those are the facts. It is black on white crime, black on white oppression, black on white what happened to you, and yet you're not allowed to talk about it because then you are a racist. But this is not a racist issue. It's an issue of fact and truth.
That's true. Do you know what the police captain of the Hawks told me the other day? This was, I think, the last time they took me to court before I was released on bail. They tell me, Cornelia, do you know what? If you're not found guilty on these charges, we will bring in other charges against you, and we will make sure the second time you will go to prison.
Why?
Because they say, I want to kill them. I want to bomb the black schools. I want to bomb the police stations and bomb taxi ranks and all the things. But I didn't plan it. The Leeuwenhoek people plan it.
All right, now here's the difficult question, Cornelia. Were you prepared to do that? Or is that why you left them and why all this started? I can't believe that you would be willing. Because after all the stuff that the blacks did to us, bombing our schools, bombing our children, bombing our restaurants, bombing during the so-called struggle years, surely I know that there are South Africans who
I'm going to tell you the truth, please. I'm not going to lie to you tonight. I'm going to tell you the truth. Yes, I was ready to do it, but not the way they want to do it. Because the way they planned it, it can never have been done in South Africa. You can go and bomb a police station today, and 2 weeks later you want to bomb a black school, and 3 weeks later you want to bomb... It can't work. Never... How they was planning it, it can't work.
No, it can't, because I watch South Africa very closely, and if there is a white-on-black crime, that white is caught within days. If there's black-on-white crime, that black is never caught, and if he is, well, his docket disappears, or he never gets to court, and he's let off with a smack on the fingers. So I think the statistics are only 14% of black murderers and rapists are put in jail. But if it's the other way around, which is very rare in South Africa for white-on-black crime, if it's the other way around, you will be caught, and they will chase you down with every single possible means at their disposal. And you living there must have known that.
Yes, it's true. You know, I can't even go and visit my family, because my bail conditions is so strict, I can't even leave town.
All right, let's discuss that. What are your bail conditions?
I'm not allowed to contact any of the state witnesses, and I may not leave Carolina District without permission of the investigated officer, and I must attend every court hearing.
Okay, so where are you living?
I'm still living on the farm in Carolina.
Are you safe there?
My parents also lived on the farm. You know, if you live on a farm, you are not safe in South Africa. So, but I lived there for 20 years on the farm.
And what impact has this had on your children?
You see, can I tell you, when I was arrested the next morning, the police have gone to the school and let the school go get my children, and the police questioned my children without any guardian with them and asked them, do you know what your mother was doing? Did you read the newspapers about your mother and things? I know what. For what did I question my children about what the newspapers say? And it's wrong to involve my kids in something they didn't know about.
And it's illegal to question kids without some form of guardian with them.
Yes, my daughter told me the other night, she said, Mom, you don't know how much I cry when they keep asking me questions about you and I can't answer it.
And no doubt they refused to accept that your children didn't know, so they probably intimidated them and frightened them to death.
Yeah, but my children, she told them she don't know. How can you question a child of, she was 9 years old, the one.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean... But they're not going to know anything because I never do anything in front of my children.
So have they been stigmatized at school by the local people, or are they okay?
Yeah, that's okay. There's one thing I can say. The school was very good for my kids while I was in prison.
And your kids were not taken away by child services. They were left with your parents.
No. Yeah, my children was living with my parents, yes. Not like people say on Facebook that welfare has taken my children away. My children was never taken away with me. And my children is living now with me.
And you yourself, when you came back to the farm, how did people treat you?
Well, the people in the community have treated me very good. I cannot say there was one who has treated me bad. They welcomed me with open arms, and yes, I was treated very good. There's only the blacks in town. If they see me, they will say to me, do you know what? You are the woman with the bums who want to kill the blacks. Yes, they still remember it because that was on TV where they have seen it.
And then, I have seen plenty of opinions that you were a plant, that you are a police spy, that you are a publicity hunter, that you... I have seen not very much support for you, although I'm sure there must be. But I...
Can I tell you something? This of I am a police spy. Let it go back. Can we go back to Johan Prinsloo of the Mangoon case, who was with us in the group? We were sentenced now for planning to bomb the ANC in Mangoon. 2 days before my arrest, I called Johan Prinsloo. I told him, Johan, do you know what? Leave the planning of Bloemfontein. The police gonna arrest us. He told me, Cornelia, do you know what? You know nothing what you speak about. I have warned them the police going to arrest us. And do you know what? Do they think if I'm a police boy, I will go and sit 21 months in prison, get raped by black policemen, and just leave my children?
I know, Cornelia, but there are these people that no matter how many facts you give them, they are...
But there's people who are to do nothing as to gossip and slander people's name. They was never even with us in the group. If I get all my stuff back today by the police, I'm going to show them every email, every message where they threatened to kill me. I will give it to every newspaper to see what they did to me.
Okay. Who are they that were making these threats against you?
The Leeuwarden people.
The group that
and the police. Yeah, the group that was a group after my arrest, the group that don't exist anymore.
All right, so could you tell us about that? Because that's yet another threat that you are living under, or because they may not be a group anymore, but those people are still there.
Yes, they are still there, yes.
So you were they started threatening you before or after you were arrested?
Before I was arrested, after I left the group.
And the reason you gave them for leaving the group was?
I can't do it anymore. I can't do what I asked me to do anymore. Even if I go somewhere, I must tell them where I'm going. If I want to go to another town, I must phone them and give them when I go, how late I'm going there, how late I'm going to be at home, for what reason. They have took over my whole life. And I must explain to them, if I want to go a weekend away to some visit people, I must explain to them where I go, when I will be back on the farm, for what was the reasons. And I didn't see to go with the planning anymore, because I have seen what I was busy with. It was not what I tell the people they was busy with to protect farmers in South Africa.
Now there you go. This is another thing that I am very suspicious of, these protect the farmers groups. I agree personally and strongly that our farmers need protection, because my dad died as a result of that attack. My brother was shot in the leg and got TB in his bone marrow and has had his foot is due to be amputated. So my mother, who's in her late 80s, is basically alone on that farm. And I agree they need protection. They really do. But I wonder about these people who are setting themselves up as farm protection, whether it is exactly what has happened to you, that they are there to find the right wing prepared to fight white South Africans and imprison them. I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Come, I tell you, other thing, what the media will never tell that part of the story. In 2002, I was not live on the farm. I was moved away for 5-6 months to another town. But my family was attacked on the farm in 2002. And I don't think you want to believe me who was arrested for the farm attack. A white security company in Carolina.
No.
Yes. I have the article where the media was writing about the farm attack. A white security guard of a white security company in Carolina was arrested for the farm attack. Even with illegal firearms and explosives.
Now, I saw an article, I read an article that said that you are accusing the white security companies of orchestrating the farm attacks.
I don't accuse them. It is a fact. This white guy of a security company of Klan Security in Carolina was arrested for a farm attack on my family. and he was found guilty in court.
Cornelia, are these then, these white people, are they plants by the government with, to draw suspicion away from the government? Because it is mainly blacks that attack the farms. I mean, it's a given.
Yes,
people
yes,
see
it is, yes.
So why would then a white person do this?
I don't know what was the reason for that white guy to, because the police say he will never give a reason why he has go and attack my family. He has tried to shoot him the night they attacked my family on the farm.
He wanted to, was he known to you? Did your family know him?
No, I don't know. I was not living on the farm, but not to my family, he was not known, no. If you look on my website, you shall see the article about the farm attack is on there.
I've read it. I've read everything yes. I could find about you.
And then they tell me I am lying because I say security companies do farm attacks. I don't lie. I tell the truth. And I prove it. There's the truth. What the police say, the white guy was arrested for a farm attack.
But that is unusual, is it not?
Yes, yes, it is unusual, but it happened.
Cornelia, as I said in the very beginning, this is such a complicated story, and yet it is a picture of the story of South Africa. The whole thing that is happening in South Africa is so complicated that even a South African who's living it cannot get their mind wrapped around it. So how do we expect the rest of the world to have the vaguest understanding of what is going on there and come to your aid? Because it's got tentacles everywhere, and you just think that you've got a grip on what is happening, and then you suddenly discover another 20 things that don't make sense. Because none of what is going on in South Africa right now makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. But everything I say, I can prove what I say.
No, I'm
everything.
Cornelia, you know how long we've been talking to each other. It must have been 6 months at least. While I've been
yes.
investigating, looking at, reading up on, trying to understand. Because I need to make this understandable to an international audience. Now, even for me, as a South African, I cannot understand the ins and outs of your case. It's like a horror story.
Yes, it is.
And so it would appear to me that most white South Africans have given up on you and refused to believe you, because it is just like, it's like a TV series. It can't in reality be happening.
Do you know what? Because they still believe in the police informants. But how many of our people is in jail because of police informants? But still, they can't see the light in South Africa, what is happening to their own people.
No, they don't, and I'm not.
And they will never. They can be mad tonight for me, but they will never see the light if they don't open their eyes. What is happening with the right-wing people in South Africa? I think I have given my life up from the age of 14 to be with the right-wingers. But I was trained by the right-wingers in South Africa, and they. But it doesn't matter if they support me. It doesn't matter for me because I have enough support all over the world from people who support me.
Yes, but it is just another little branch of the fact that South Africans cannot stand together.
Stand together,
and
I will never stand together.
No, and that why South Africans are divided into so many groups, but the one group is the total ostriches who refuse to see that there's anything wrong in that country.
country. And then on the other hand are the people who do see but sit behind a keyboard all day and won't do anything.
Yeah. Keyboard warriors.
Yes, and there are so many of them that sound so big and brave on Facebook, but when you approach them to actually get out from behind their keyboard and do something, anything, take part in a march, go to the Red Balloon Day, anything, the most simple. They cannot do it or will not do it.
No, so they will not do it because they can't stand together. Because they like to sit behind their keyboards and slander each other and look what I can say bad about one of the others. But the people who was really doing something for this country, they don't care about. Look at all the political prisoners in South Africa. How many is in prison and forgotten about their own people?
Yes, well, are you able to talk about that? Because it's a thing the world doesn't know about.
They must really think to look after the people who have done something for South Africa. Not sit behind the keyboard and doing Facebook, because Facebook is not going to save the white people of South Africa.
No, it is not, Cornelia. It is not.
They must stand up and do something.
Well,
and stand together. We can do something in South Africa. But rather they sit behind the keyboards and slander each other, and that's all they can do.
But what scares me most, Cornelia, is that there's so much division. There's the argument about who's a Boer and who's an Afrikaner. And then there's the argument against the English. And then there's infighting between the groups because, well, we agree basically, but there are two points we don't agree on, so I'm not going to deal with you anymore.
Yeah, if they say you are not a Boer, you're not a Boer.
Yes.
They decide what you are, and that's the end of the story.
And so, when you have a population of approximately 70 million, and approximately 3.5 million of those are white, and out of those, 1 million are living in squatter camps. So you have 2.5 million, maybe, that are able to do something. 2.5 million against 70 million. And you can't reach out and hold hands and agree to disagree and stand up together to give yourself a stronger voice?
Yes, they can't. And do you know what? The other thing of them is, they're there. If there's a planning to say, can we go in and bomb that place tonight? Everyone is talking about it. Everyone say, yes, we're going to do it. But behind your back, they stab you in the back and they run to the police and they get the money to give the police the information. That's all. There's police informants and things doing in South Africa. Is let you go to a head with their planning the things, and then you get arrested, and then you is in the eyes of South African people, you are nothing.
They don't want to know about you. They don't want to hear your name, and they don't want your story told.
Do you know what? I don't care. I don't need him. For 21 months, I was sitting in prison. They don't care about me. There's how many of them who are sitting in prison they don't care about. How many of them? They must go and look after their political prisoners, what have done something for South Africa, and not sitting behind the keyboard and slandering other people's names. Because they was not there. I was there. They was not there.
Yeah.
But the truth will come out. After my case, and I get all my stuff back from the police, I'm going to prove every one of them wrong at the end of the day.
But Cornelia, do you think that this is ever going to end for you? When is your next court date? What are you expecting to happen?
Well, my next court date is 2 of November. They say they're going to trial me 2 November, but every time they must trial me, the state has an excuse to trial me. So it's now going on for 4 years. that my case will be maybe next year still in court. Because the police have the state has 9 police officers, but is still must testify against me. And all of them is black as well.
So now the informants, et cetera, they don't have to come and appear in court?
No. But like I say, my prosecutor, what was doing the case, was white. Then the police took off and say no. They can't allow her to do the case because me and she is busy talking to each other, but I never talk to her. And then they get a black prosecutor to take over by the white prosecutor for the state.
Well, of course they did. Of course they did.
Yeah.
So if your case were to actually be tried and you are found guilty, you will be another
yes.
one of the long list of white political prisoners in South Africa, forgotten, left to rot in jail, and never to see the light of day again.
Yes. And I know they're going to be mad for what I say tonight on the radio, but I know it's all the truth. Because they just forget about the people in prison. But I think they must think of taking care of them and not leave them there.
I saw a list of them the other day, and even I was shocked, Cornelia. I didn't realize how many there were.
My name is last on the list.
Yes, so many of them. I think there's 39. I'm not.
No, there's many more than 39. No, the real list, you can check on my website. I have it on my website. So, yeah, but do you know what I say? The truth will set you free. So, and the truth will set me free. I'm busy writing my book. So my book will be published in maybe the next 6 months.
So, Cornelia, how are you living under this uncertainty? And how are you coping? And where do you see this going?
Come I tell you, I take it day by day, and I get my strength from God every day to stand up, facing my troubles, and know God will give me the strength to go on every day. And where it's going, I can tell you, I know it. I already know it. They're going to find me guilty, so, yeah.
Because they've already told you that on many occasions.
Yeah.
If they don't find you guilty...
Yeah, even my lawyer told me they're going to find me guilty.
So you are kind of... and being grateful that you are free and still have time to spend with your family.
Yes, I am. Because 25 years is a very long time.
Will you survive it, Cornelia?
I don't know if I will survive a second time in prison. I don't know.
Oh, my Lord. Is there anything else that you need to say? Because I am so devastated at this moment, I don't know where to go with the rest of this. I'm absolutely heartbroken, devastated. I didn't think I would be. I thought I'd investigated this and looked at it hard and knew what we were facing, but I don't know what to say. Is there anything else?
Because
you...
there is no more to say, because, like I say, the truth will come out, and the people of South Africa must open their eyes and see the truth about this whole setup of the government against me.
Cornelia, I despair about the people of South Africa opening their eyes, because I really try. And yet, my biggest opponents are the white South Africans.
Yes, maybe they will never open their eyes. But someone sent me a message 2 days ago on Facebook of one of my poor groups I have on Facebook. He told me, do you know what, Cornelia? We are sorry. We didn't believe you. But do you know what? We see the truth for the first time now.
Well, you have my word that this is not your last radio appearance in the USA, because this story needs to go far and wide. And even though I know that the international audience will not understand the ins and outs, the basics of it are just inhumane. What has been done to you is inhumane. Whether you are guilty or not guilty, Cornelia, is not for me to judge. But for me to judge is what they did to you in that jail and what they are still doing to you and your family. And in my judgment, you don't do that to anybody. Being raped, being beaten, being made to lie handcuffed and naked on a bed in front of black male guards is inhumane in anybody's language, and it should not be allowed. So the guilt or innocence or your involvement, or I'm not a judge, and I don't stand in judgment on you. I stand in judgment on the government that allows this to happen and refuses you the opportunity to open a case against your abusers. And on that note, I would like to read to the audience something written by Cornelia, and then I'm going to end this show, because I don't think that I have the courage or the strength to continue this. Cornelia, thank you very, very much for being on the show with me tonight. I will ensure that more people in this country get your word out so the world can know what gets done to prisoners in South Africa.
Thank you, Gordon.
Cornelia wrote this. The last 4 years of my life have been unimaginably difficult for myself and my family, and I would like to take this opportunity to say a heartfelt thank you to all my friends and supporters, without whose love and support these dark days would have been almost impossible to survive. You give me hope and encouragement to continue my fight for justice and ultimate freedom. My love and thanks to you all. And as always, God bless South Africa. God bless America. And God help this world that we have to live in today. And I'm playing out, as always, with the national anthem of South Africa. Good night, and we'll speak to you again soon.